Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I want you to take your Bibles tonight, please. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts, chapter 13. It's always a joy to come to Lancaster Baptist Church, not only because we have friends here. Certainly we love Brother and Mrs. Chappell, and we've learned to love many of you and the staff here. But we also have students here that are studying for the ministry, so it's always a joy to see them and to see the progress that they're making in their lives because they're here preparing for ministry and whatever the Lord may have. But just to come and just to see what God is doing. This, of course, is not a, this is a very special Sunday. I think for the last several years I've been here on what's called Bust Them In Sunday or Bring Them In Sunday. And I'm somewhat familiar with what goes on this particular Sunday. And tonight I want to speak to you tonight on serving our generation, serving our generation. And I just simply say it's not like I don't know where I'm preaching tonight. So I understand as we think about serving our generation, here in just a month or so, leaders from independent Baptist churches across the country will file into this place for leadership conference and study what's going on here because, in a sense, this is a model church that many are trying to emulate, saying, all right, Lord, what are they doing there that I can take home and how can I implement some of those issues in my own church to help us to be more effective? And so I'm very aware of the caliber of folks that I'm speaking to tonight. I'm very aware of the fact that if there's a congregation that cares about reaching their community for Christ, if there's a congregation that has a heart for the world, there's a congregation that knows about and wants to make a difference in this world, it's this congregation. But that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't mean there isn't room for improvement in our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't need to be reminded of simple truth from time to time and what God's expectations are for our lives. And so with that thought in mind, I just want to read one verse from the 13th chapter of the book of Acts tonight, verse number 36, if you'll let your eyes fall there. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation well, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Let me read that again. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." Let's pray for just a moment. Father, thank you for the service and thank you for the blessing of being here tonight. We are thrilled, Lord, just to be with God's people and to have an opportunity, Lord, to gather once again and to hear the Word of God preached, to be challenged. And Father, we have prayed and we've asked you to help us tonight. And I'm asking anew and afresh, I'm asking publicly before these folks, Lord, that you give us a fresh anointing this evening, that your power would be obvious. And Lord, you do something in our hearts and in our lives. Now I pray, Father, that you take this message, this simple message tonight. Nothing profound here, but certainly a truth that we just need to be constantly reminded of. So, Father, help us to have that ability tonight. May you be pleased to bless it, Lord. And may there be a freedom in every heart and every life for God to work. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, we pray for your power this evening in this place. We ask it and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the text is in regards to a message that the Apostle Paul was preaching in a place called Antioch of Pisidia. And he was, in this message, he was dealing with some folks and with some Jewish people and trying to prove to them that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he's obviously referencing in the messages some quotes from the Psalms, from David and the psalmist. And in verse number 35, he gives one of those quotes. He says, a quote from Psalm, "Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." So he basically, in that reference, he is referencing Christ the Messiah, the fact that Jesus did die, but the fact is that he didn't stay dead. And on the third day, God raised him from death so that he would not see corruption. So we understand in verse 36 of our text, he points to David. He's saying David is not speaking of himself. This is not a reference to the psalmist. It wasn't about him. Paul said David served his own generation by the will of God and he fell on sleep. I want us to focus on that little phrase tonight that David served his own generation by the will of God. And once again, I just think about where I'm preaching tonight. I think about who is gathered here this evening. And with that thought in mind, I'm just saying we need to be reminded this evening of our responsibilities as God's people. Tonight, I want to speak for just a little while on serving our generation. If there's ever been a time when we need to realize anew and afresh that what is necessary in this culture and in this world and in this place where God has allowed us to be saved and to serve, it is that very fact that we need to be looked upon as servants of the Most High God. That we are here to serve, that we are here to use our lives to accomplish God's divine and unique purpose through our lives. Now, Paul points out David served his own generation by the will of God. Now, I realize the focus tonight of the text is not really about David as much as it was about the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the context. But God, by His Spirit, obviously prompted Paul to point to David and said, it's not about him, but I want you to know that he did serve his own generation, and then he fell asleep. And God not only prompted Paul to say it, but God thought enough about what he said to record it in the Word of God. So there's something there that you and I ought to get a hold of. Don't you agree tonight? That if God says it, we ought to pay attention to it. So as I think about that, I want to give you three brief thoughts this evening about serving our generation. First of all, I want us to point to David, that David, number one, was willing to serve. David was willing to serve. Now, this truth is seen throughout David's life. If you look at David, you obviously understand and know anything about him, you'll know that here was a man who achieved some measure of success in his life. But you understand that the reference to David serving his own generation wasn't just to the fact that David was a king and he sat upon a throne. No. It was about the fact that David, throughout his life, served God in the various aspects and dimensions of his life. And sometimes we have this idea, well, you know, I can only serve God if I can get to a certain level. I can only serve God if God allow me to do this or God allow me to do that. That's a wrong philosophy. You can serve God where you are with what God has given to you right now. And I'm telling you that that's the philosophy and the intent that we need to have. I want you to think about David for just a moment. The Bible tells us that David served God and served his generation by being a good son. He was a good son. He learned responsibility and service when he kept his family sheep. Now, you know, honestly, when we think about kings, we don't think about shepherds. We don't think about folks who sat out on the hillside taking care of sheep. But I'm telling you that God used that process in David's life to prepare him to one day sit upon the throne. And he learned to be a responsible young man by keeping sheep. Dad had made his sons work. He made them go to work. He made them get their hands dirty. He made them labor. He made them toil. It's not a bad thing for our children to learn how to work. It's a good thing to make them learn responsibility. We're living in a day and age where so many parents are coddling their children and giving them everything and not making them responsible for anything. And I'm telling you that David served his own generation because somebody taught him some responsibility in life. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent here tonight, one of the primary things that God has given you to do is to teach your children some responsibility. Teach them to be productive adults. Teach them about taking care of responsibility and owning some things and getting their hands around some things and wrapping their arms around some things. I'm so thankful that I had a father who taught me how to work, who taught me the importance of being involved in ministry. I remember as a seventh grader, I could not wait until I got into seventh grade and I turned 12 years old and I could work a bus route. You had to be 12 years old. You had to be in the seventh grade at our church to work a bus route. And so I looked forward to that moment when I was old enough to step into a responsibility of working a bus route. And from the time I was in seventh grade to the time I graduated from high school, I worked on the same bus route with the same bus captain and the same bus driver. And it taught me something about people, and it taught me about service, and it taught me about helping folks in their place of need. And I'm telling you tonight, we're living in a generation where too many are coddling their young people, coddling their children, not making them responsible. But David was a responsible young man as a son. I'll tell you, he was a servant as a young man, was conscripted to play his harp in the army of Saul. You know the story that an evil spirit came upon Saul, and somebody said, well, I know an excellent harpist. He's down with his father Jesse, and someone sat down and brought David up to play his harp in the presence of Saul. He was faithful to do that. And we know the story, of course, him facing Goliath and bringing great defeat to the Philistines because he was willing to serve in his generation. I'm thinking to myself that he had this servant leader mentality in the army of the nation of Israel. He was a servant leader as the king of Israel. I just see throughout his life that he was a servant. Folks, I'm telling you, if we ought to be known for one thing, it's the fact that we want to serve. David was a servant. The service aspect is missing in so many lives. We certainly see it in the realm of politics. There are so few that enter politics because they want to serve their constituents. Now, I'm not saying everybody's like that, but so few look at it as a place of service. It's more a stepping stone to the next level of political gain or to get to the next area of life. And so few really have that mentality. Most people aspire to the office of president. I don't know. I've never sat down with one of the candidates. But honestly, it does look like, in some respects, rather than being a service to the nation, to the United States of America, it's all about, you know, the power that's with the position. And I'm just simply saying we see so little of that in the political realm. We see a lack of service in the marketplace. You know, it's a little frustrating sometimes. You go in these stores and, I know they're trying to save money, but it's self-checkout. And there's no, when you're looking for something, you got to ring a bell and you got to wait 10 minutes for somebody to show up. I remember as a boy growing up, man, you walked into a store and there were people there. They were there to serve. There were people in every department. There were people checking folks out. And we're in this market mentality that we're living in today. This lack of service is missing. It's missing in society in general as we look around and see so few people today who really understand what it is about living in the United States of America. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, when you raise your children without discipline, and we're seeing a generation being raised without discipline. When you raise them without discipline, they all think it's the whole world revolves around them. They're the most important person, and the entire world ought to revolve around them. And because of that lack of discipline, we're seeing this, again, lack of service. And it seems even in the church that many times the idea of being a servant is lacking. But I'm saying to you that as Christians, we need to understand that God has called us, first and foremost, to be a child of the King. But because we are, we need to understand why God has saved us. He saved us to serve. Would you listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28? Jesus is speaking, and Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Then I read in Paul's words in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The challenge from the Apostle Paul to all of us tonight is that the same mind that was in Christ needs to be in us. What's that mind? I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. The Christian life is not about being waited upon. It's about ministry. It's about waiting on others. It's not about being ministered to. It's about ministering to others. You can serve. Listen, you can serve and not be happy. The Bible is very clear that there was a woman by the name of Martha who was a servant. She loved fixing meals. But evidently, she got a little frustrated from time to time in the kitchen aspect. And she didn't think that her sister was there to help her. And she got a little frustrated in her service. I'm telling you, you can serve and not be happy. But listen to me very carefully tonight. You may be able to serve and not be happy, but you cannot be happy without being a servant. You can't. It's impossible to be happy in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and not have some ministry, some mindset of being a servant to Him. I'm telling you tonight, if you want to be a happy believer, you got to be a servant. You got to pour yourself into service. Every member ought to have a place of service and ministry. No ministry ought to be wanting for workers. Every ministry ought to be having a line of folks saying, "How can I get in? How can I serve? How can I be a part of that? How can I use my life? Tell me what I can do. Give me a place of service." And I'm telling you, that's the mentality that needs to be developed tonight. That's the mentality that David had. The Bible says he served his own generation. There's a second thing I find about David. Not only did he have the mindset of a servant, but secondly, I find that David discovered the will of God here, and the Bible says he did it. He discovered the will of God and did it. David understood his life was given to fulfill the will of God to help his generation. I think about the statement that David made when he went down to visit his brothers, and while he was there, he obviously heard the voice of Goliath in the valley booming out, "Give me a man to fight with me." And He looked around and saw everybody cowering and everybody running for cover. And David, inside of him, something was stirring. Something said, man, I can go out and face this Goliath. It's not because it's about me. It is about my God. And you know how he was challenged about that. And his brothers began to question his motivation for that. But don't you love David's statement? When he made that statement, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And David understood that this is the purpose. He was anointed to be the next king, but until the day God put him on the throne, he understood his position in getting there was to serve, to find a place of service. It was to serve the man who was the king, to try to help him to be the best king he possibly could be. And he was there to fulfill God's purpose. God had a purpose in David's life in being a soldier. He had a servant purpose in his life in being a part of Saul's army. And even as a king, when you look at David's life, what was David all about? It wasn't about making himself great. It wasn't about the accolades that could be laid at his feet. It was about the fact that, hey, we as a nation are here to serve our God. That's why we're here. And God used him in a powerful way. I think about when David died, the kingdom of Israel was a better place because he served his own generation by the will of God. You know, when we fulfill God's will for our lives, we help our generation. You know that? I want you to think with me for just a moment. You know, we don't always stop to think about just the significance of being in a place like this. But there's great significance in being in a place like this by receiving Christ and receiving the new birth. Do you understand? You make your generation just a little bit better. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you're saved. The fact of the matter is that you're born again. The fact of the matter is that God has changed your life. You understand because of that unique work that God has done in your life, this generation's a little bit better because of what God has done in your life. I think to myself about what God does in a church environment and how every person in a church can make the world a better place. You know, by joining a church and growing in our faith, we help our generation. As a person gets saved and they grow to love God and to serve Him, you know, I think to myself, well, what happens? I was out today, and of course, I've been here on a couple of occasions and different times and met different people, but it's interesting to find how in this church, people have found their future mate. I mean, that's a great thought. That in this church, maybe you're a teenager sitting here and you're thinking about the future. Maybe your future mate is sitting here. Maybe you're a young adult and your future mate is sitting here. But it's an amazing thing in a church to watch as God works in people's lives. And one of the great joys for pastors is to see people get saved, see them grow in their faith, see them come to the point where they're looking for a spouse and they find God's will. They get married. Then they start that process all over again by having children and raising them in the faith. You know, it's a blessing to watch as God changes a city, changes the culture because we find the will of God and we do it. What a blessing. We think about the fact that a person gets saved, a person becomes a part of a church, they get involved in church outreach and soul winning and discipleship and a bus route and a Sunday school class and all these things. And I'm telling you tonight, as I said here, there are folks here by the hundreds, you've got a ministry, and I'm telling you, it's the will of God for your life, and because you found the will of God and you're doing it, you're changing this generation. There's others sitting here tonight. You need to find the will of God for your life. You need to find what it is that God has gifted you to do and what God has given you to do. And you need to get to it because when you do, you'll change the generation. Do you think tonight, you honestly think that the bartender or the drug pusher or the pornographer or the harlot is changing their generation in a positive way? Of course not. It's foolish for us to sit here tonight and say, well, they're making some positive contribution to society. Ladies and gentlemen, that type of mentality, that kind of work destroys the culture, destroys peoples, destroys cities, destroys homes, and destroys families. But we understand that by getting saved and finding the will of God and doing it, it changes the world for a better place. One of the greatest things you and I can do with our lives is to serve, to make an impact, and prepare another generation that comes behind us. It's just a one constant cycle. I'm standing where I stand tonight as a pastor and as a preacher because people stood before me and people made a difference in my life and people invested in me and people ministered to me and people made a difference in my life and just kept helping me and developing me and working with me.
Now I've got a generation coming behind me that we're doing the same thing in their lives. That's what it's all about. One generation after another until Jesus comes, and then it's all said and done anyway. But we understand that that is the purpose. Then would you notice finally tonight as we think about David and his service, I want you to notice, please, the text again in verse 36. The Bible says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption." David understood, I've come to this final thought tonight, that David understood there's a limited time of service. A limited time of service. You know, when I think about life, I understand the limits of life. The text says that David served his own generation by the will of God and fell asleep. In other words, he died. He went to be with his heavenly father. He had his ability to serve in his generation, but that time frame came to an end. I read in the Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. I read in the book of Psalms chapter 90, and the Bible says the days of our years are 80, and by reason of strength they be 80 years. You know, as there's strength, labor, and sorrow, and is soon cut off, and we fly away. And it goes on to say, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid here tonight. I'm not trying to make you think that, you know, that your life is about at the end. But I'm just simply saying to us, what we need to understand tonight is there is a limited amount of time that we can serve the Lord. And it's why we have breath. It's why we have life. Look, I'm not always going to pastor the church that I'm the pastor of. The day will come, if the Lord doesn't come, that I'll understand that there's a need to resign that ministry and turn it over to someone else with a little more youth and a little more vim and a little more vigor. Now, I'm not talking about tomorrow, but at some time down the road, I'm looking at that fact that someplace down the road, I'll need to turn that ministry over to a younger person. But I won't always be able to pastor the church that I'm pastoring. I'll not always be able to preach with this much energy and this much excitement and this much enthusiasm and this much noise. You know, see, there's an aspect in which we look at life and it starts to take some things with us. The day will come. Listen, parent, the day will come when your children will leave the house. Some of you are saying, I can't wait. The grocery bill will go down. The water bill won't be as high. So much electricity won't be spent. Here's what I found. They get married and they leave the house and they come back and bring others with them and it costs you twice as much. But the truth of the matter is, those children, you only have them for a little while. You only have a short time to impact their lives. Don't waste a day. Don't waste an opportunity. Look at the opportunities that God gives to be a parent, to make a difference in the life of that child, to teach them something, to train them, to prepare them as a servant, to serve your generation. The day will come when your voice will not be able to sing like it sang today. What a beautiful choir. What a beautiful special music today. But the day will come when those voices will begin to falter. We won't always get to do the things that we're doing. The day will come when you'll not be able to teach the class or maybe work the bus route or drive the bus or minister in the way that you're ministering. It's a sad thing to watch as we think about life and sickness as it begins to ravage and take hold of people. It begins to change them. The day comes when lives are reduced to small elements of living. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So we must serve the Lord now. We need to serve our God with our lives today. Because there will come a day in the future when I can't serve God the way that I'm serving Him, I'll always, Lord willing, but as long as I have breath, have some form of service. Something that I can do. But I'm to serve my generation now, right now. And so are you. Serve God every day. Serve God with your being and do it as long as you can. Some of you may be aware that this has been a little bit of a difficult year for me. 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, I conducted my dad's funeral service. My dad was diagnosed with cancer at the end of February and on April the 5th, the Friday before the celebration of the resurrection, the Lord took him home. It was a very short battle with cancer. Perhaps he had it a little bit longer than we realized, but he obviously wasn't a long battle. He had a lot of other issues that really complicated him getting treatment. My dad was 82 years old when the Lord took him home, and if he'd have lived to June, he'd have been 83. For the almost 54 years of our church's existence. Our church will be 54 years in August. My dad has been a part of the Cleveland Baptist Church for up until the day he died, for all 54 years, with the exception of the first Sunday the church's start. My mom and my dad and myself and my sister came the second Sunday of the church's existence. I was just a nine-month-old baby when the church opened its doors, and I got there the second Sunday and got saved there, got called to preach there, and now I'm the pastor of the church. My dad was a faithful man. For years, he drove a truck, and then God worked in his heart, and he just needed to get out of the trucking business, come to work for the church. The pastor wanted him to come to work for the church as a full-time youth director and just kind of a guy who just handled everything. So he finally did. And when I was in junior high school, he did that. He left the trucking industry and came to work for the church full-time. And never went to Bible college, but I'm telling you, the man had a Bible college education of wisdom and insight that only God can give to a man. And all of my life, my dad was, in my respect, a hero to me. And when I watched him get sick, he semi-retired in 1995 when I became the pastor, and then we brought him back on staff for a while, and then finally completely turned in his resignation as far as a full-time staff member in January of 2001. But I watched my dad pull on the parking lot every morning. He'd come over to the church just to make sure everything was going well, walk around visiting with folks, and then he'd find something to do, and then he'd go home and do something, and he was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. There wasn't a greater cheerleader in that church for the pastor than my dad. And when we had his wake 2 weeks ago tomorrow, stood there as hundreds of people came by, and we paid respects to the life of my father, and had person after person say to me, "Your dad was a good man. Your dad was a good man. Your dad changed my life. Your dad helped me. Your dad made a difference in my life." There were people that my dad influenced that I had no idea about, but it was just his service of ministry. But you see, it came to an end. It comes to an end some point. But I'm so proud to be able to tell you that my dad, all 54 years, never wavered, never said, "I'm not coming to church," never decided, I'm not serving the Lord anymore. I mean, all 54 years, it was service, 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 service. We kids learned to serve the Lord because we watched our parents serve the Lord. It was all about that. And I'm telling you tonight, that's what we need to remind ourselves about. There's no greater reward in all the world than to be called a servant of the Lord. No matter what you're doing, no matter what your ministry is, I'm just serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not service to Pastor Chapel. I mean, we thank God for pastoral leadership. But our ministry is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're doing it in His name and for His benefit. And so we understand that tonight, that it is about service. I want to ask you this question in conclusion tonight. What's going to be the lasting legacy of your life? What is it that, when it's all said and done, what's your lasting legacy? Obviously, the Bible says here, David served the Lord, or served God, served his generation by the will of God and fell on sleep. His legacy was service. His legacy was the will of God, finding it and doing it. There are a lot of things people can say about us, but I think the greatest thing could be said is they just serve the Lord. They're just a servant of the Lord. Once again, we thank God for those who God puts over us and how we can encourage them and help them through our service. But most importantly, our service is to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. May God help us understand that tonight. May God use this message to help us to see the importance of serving God.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.